Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on a lovely Saturday morning. Hello! The very first Saturday since Selma was about to marry Edie that we have been doing this show, honey. I am your host, Raji Love. Yes, I am. And I am joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Raji Love. You seem like you are just so excited today.
Girl, you just don't know. You just don't know how excited I am. This is an off day. Y'all know how those make me feel. Y'all know how that makes me feel. Yes, fam, we are also joined by our other lovely co-host, Miss Mahogany. Good morning, Mahogany.
Good morning, Raji Love. You are turned up this morning.
Yeah, ain't y'all excited? We are actually live on a Saturday morning. Or does that mean anything to y'all? Because I know it means a whole lot to me.
I see.
Ooh, y'all just don't get it. Y'all don't understand it. Yeah, that means that I'm not at a hotel right now. I am at my house right now, sitting down, chilling and talking and junk. Okay? Do y'all feel me? Do y'all feel me? Because y'all don't seem like y'all feeling me right now. Y'all don't seem like y'all feeling me.
We're going to feel you about 15 minutes in, yeah? Yeah, we're going to feel you about 15 minutes in.
Inject yourself with some of that coffee, honey. The caffeine might do a shot, an extra shot or something.
It's not working. It's not working.
God bless y'all hearts. Bless y'all hearts. Well, honey, yes. I am really feeling it this morning. Yes, ma'am. Such a lovely day. Such a lovely day. Because of y'all, child, I'm going to just keep it live and popping, honey, and just do what I normally do and just start giving out some birthday wishes. How about that? Okay, how about that?
That sounds good.
Okay, now, well, actually what I will start off doing is actually saying congratulations to my very, very first born niece, honey. Today, it's not her birthday, but it's relative, I will say. She is having her baby shower today, honey, for her very first baby. Bless her heart. She's having her baby shower today. I believe it's starting at 7-something, and, you know, it's going to be in New Orleans. Unfortunately, I cannot go, and she understands that because she knows I'm in Atlanta, child, they're in New Orleans, and I just can't afford to do it. But all in all, honey, I wish her the very best, and I'm like, yes, I can't wait to see what my niece and my grandniece or nephew is going to look like, bless their hearts. And I know they're going to be turned up as much as she possibly could, considering she's dang near about to pop, but, you know, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. It's New Orleans. That's how we do it. Yes, ma'am. So congratulations to her, and I'm going to say her fiancé because, yes, they are engaged. His name is Darius Washington. Bless your hearts. Congratulations on that. Now, wedding, I'm not sure when that's going to be because they have not made any announcements that I know of, but hopefully and I pray that I will be able to go and attend because I would love to be there. Bless y'all hearts. Rashonda Brown, Darius Washington. Yes, this one is for y'all.
Congratulations.
Yes. Now, birthday wishes. Starting tomorrow, honey. Maria. See, this is why I was thinking Mary Mac, because her last name is Mac on here. So I'm like, yeah. And every time I see it, I just think Mary Mac. Yes, I do.
And what day is that?
Her birthday is tomorrow, June the 26th. Bless her heart. She is turning that ripe old age of 43 years old, honey. Bless her heart. Yes, ma'am. Mm.
Yeah.
43 years old, June the 26th. And I'm going to skip over some because I see that they are shared, and y'all know how we do with the sharing, child. Some people want to pull out guns and bullets, child, so I'm going to just leave that alone. But on Tuesday.
It's too late now, child, because Maria Mack was the one I had. It's too late now, child. Go ahead.
Ooh, well, see, I didn't realize that she was. Oh, see. I'm sorry. I didn't even realize she was your shared friend. Because I've been having her as a friend on here for a long time, too. Yeah, but I never realized that we were sharing her. Sorry. Okay. Well, moving right along, then, I guess. You know. Since I don't already broke that up, I might as well announce on Monday. Should I not, Miss Kiki?
I mean, you might as well bust it out, pal. Oh.
Say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you. Coming up on Monday, June the 27th, my best friend, Koi Blanco, which I don't understand why she got that on Facebook still. Now, she thinks she closed out her Facebook account, but apparently Facebook don't agree with her because they're still posting it.
Oh.
She didn't get that understanding behind it. My best friend, Miss Kiyoka, and her twin brother, Clinton Jones, they're turning 38 years old. Oh, bless her heart, child. Now, see, let her say it, child. Well, at least she still ain't 40, so she will throw that out there. But her brother and her are turning 38 years old. Baby, baby, baby. Now, in case y'all didn't know, yes, that's also Miss Kiki's sister and brother. Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
Dang. 38.
Yes. And it's amazing how even though they're younger than her, they're older than her, though. Isn't that something? I always wonder how they did that, though.
Right, that's a mystery. Yeah, that's a big mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to just leave that mystery right there where it is, Sean, and let her try to figure
right.
that out for you.
Right.
But also coming up on Tuesday, June the 28th, Mr. Roderick Tristan Walker. No relations that I know of to Miss Kia. And he's turning 39 years old. Bless his heart. I didn't realize he was that old. Bless his heart. But yeah, we've been Facebook friends for a minute, quite a minute, yeah. But, yes, he's turning 39 years old. I'm sure he's going to be doing some kind of celebratory, either a whole lot of something or a whole lot of nothing. Either way, it's celebrating you. You know what I'm saying? Also coming up on Wednesday, June the 29th, everybody's birthday is like literally one day after the next on here, and then it just stops for me on Thursday, but, you know, I'm going to leave that one alone. Where's the 29th, Glenda Hayes? Yes! Turning 36 years old, my cousin. Yes, indeed, child. Now, I know Arkansas is going to be lit up with something going on, bless your heart. But y'all know what? Enjoy y'all days. Have yourself some blessed birthdays, and I hope that y'all get some kind of blessings, you know, through. So, happy birthday, y'all.
Turn up, child.
If you don't do nothing else, turn up at least a good drink or something, child. You know?
Yeah.
Now, Miss Kiki, okay. And I know you got some birthday wishes you'd like to give out this week. So, girl, you just going to let have. That's all I can say. Just let have.
You took most of them.
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
Lordy, Lordy, they almost 40. Kiyoka and Clinton. Yes, y'all almost 40. Y'all oldest girl. Y'all children almost teenagers. It's old as dirt. Yeah. But, you know, Angela, I got a call from two of our listeners, my cousin Gina and another one of my friends that I put their age on blast. Where they wanted to take a flight to New Orleans. Angry.
What?
So I'm about to make some more folks angry. All right? Mr. Elder Emmanuel Henry, he said he turned 36. Now, come on, Emmanuel. Craig, we know you're older than that. Yeah. His name is Craig Henry. Happy birthday, Craig. His birthday is on June 28th. And then I have a special birthday. If it wasn't for this woman, I wouldn't be here today. It's my mama. Her birthday is June 30th, and she turned 64.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Girl,
you're almost 65. Don't you know that? Don't come driving over here with that foolishness this morning. You're almost 65. And that's what you wish to say.
Girl. Child, now, you know your mama traveled with a weapon, girl. Okay, so you might want to watch this.
And that's my birthday wish for the week, guys.
Yes, ma'am. Happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday, y'all.
Yes, yes. Miss Mahogany, was that the only birthday wish you had to give out, honey?
Yeah.
Well, I am so sorry, hon. I wish she would have posted on there that she was also Miss Mahogany Stand, so don't say that. That's what I was hoping she would have said, but she didn't.
That's all right.
I never knew that, for real. It's like sometimes I scroll past things and I know some of the people that we know and I know some of the people that I got from you, but some people, you know how when you actually accept friends from them requesting? She was one of those people because I found out that she actually did listen to, well, she actually came, I think, listened to the show, to the Love and Life page at some point.
Yeah.
I selected her as a friend. I never knew that she knew you.
Yeah, we actually worked together, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we actually worked together, and then you wouldn't see her, you know, you wouldn't see her in the morning, you know. She's 7'3". She's a 7'3" type. And, you know, we'll chit-chat for a little few minutes or whatever every day. So, happy birthday, girl. Happy birthday, Maria, girl.
But
Hope you're listening.
Happy birthday.
Well, then, darling, that's our birthday wishes for the week. We're going to be giving out some more next week, Saturday, so y'all beware. If y'all want to give out some special birthday shout-outs and stuff, just let us know. You know, we'll be happy to shout them out for y'all, you know. Just let us know and tag them. That's all you got to do. That's it. That's it.
Tag a bitch.
Tag a bitch. Now, Miss Mahogany, today is your day to do this hosting thing, honey. You ready? Are you ready?
I am red, honey.
Go!
This Sunday, the BET Awards will air on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Anthony Anderson and Tracee Ellis Ross from Girlfriends will be hosting the show. And Stevie Wonder and a couple of other unnamed artists will do a Prince tribute. And I'm praying that they will do Prince the justice he deserves. For a good tribute and whatnot. What is that noise in the background? I'll be DVRing.
No, Miss Kiki, probably in a get some coffee or something.
No, I'm just sitting up here. I'm not doing anything.
I'll be DVRing the show, and I don't want no spoilers in my inbox. Thank you very much. Sidebar, Erykah Badu and Bilal will be paying tribute as well, and they better bring it. Sunday night. BET, 8 p.m., y'all. Don't forget.
Yeah, I heard that they were trying to do a tribute to Prince somewhere else. And they said they didn't want Miss Janelle Monáe to actually be a part of that. And I got a problem with that.
I do, too.
Janelle Monáe is phenomenal, first of all, regardless. She's
number
phenomenal.
Number one.
Right. Number one. Number two, when she did her tribute that she did, that I've seen, to Prince, she did it well. She ain't trying to emulate him. She's not trying to do anything but just pay tribute to him and enjoy the music that he did. So what's the issue? What's the real issue? Are y'all afraid because she did so well when she did it that she was going to outshine the rest of them? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it could be that, you know, because she could outshine a bitch with her clothes on. So, you know, they're not too keen on that in this time and day.
Hmm.
You know, we have these half-naked gyrations and shirations going on and stuff.
Yeah, to take away from the fact that you may not be sounding that great. That's what I get, yeah.
Moving right along, not so fast, you greedy mongrels. A federal judge ruled that Whitney Houston's estate cannot auction off her Emmy. The Emmy under duress is the one she won for her performance at the 1986 Grammy Awards. Heritage Auctions had put the statuette up for grabs, and then TMC had broke the story. And then the Television Academy opposed the auction, citing in its rule that all Emmys must be returned to the winner or winner's heirs who no longer want it. So the going bid, you know, when they put it out there that it was going to be auctioned off, was going to be $10,000. So now, well, the Emmy's going back to the Houston family. Well, I mean, that was the opening, you know.
for a Grammy that Whitney won?
An Emmy.
An Emmy. Well, anything that Whitney won. That's what I'm thinking. And y'all starting to bid off at $10,000? Why are they
all? Well, I mean, they have to start. Well, because she's dead, you know.
I mean, but some things that I'm just saying, they're heirlooms kind of things. Some things you just don't do. That's like, okay, if they would have started doing it with her Grammys, why would you want to auction off Whitney Houston's Grammys? It's an award that she won, so why would you want to let that go? That sounds like something that should stay in the family to me.
It should, in a normal family, you know, in a normal family. But when you got Pat Houston running stuff, running the estate, you know, that's a money-grubbing, you know, allegedly money-grubbing heifer.
So they're basically trying to pawn off all of her stuff so they can divvy up the money? Really? Oh,
uh-huh.
My goodness. And if that's a family affair, they suck. They suck. They suck. I know Sissy is probably just crying and praying right now because that's just retarded.
No, I think you better cut them the fuck out.
Well, that too, I'm saying. Why is she crying? I'm sorry.
Terrible. Sad news as well. Atrell Cortez, also known as Prince B of the 1990s R&B group PM Dawn, has died at the age of 46. He died Friday of renal kidney disease at the hospital in his home state of New Jersey. The group, PM Dawn, known for such hits as Set Adrift on Memory Bliss, Paper Doll, Looking Through Patient Eyes, and Die Without You, which was featured on the soundtrack of the 1992 Eddie Murphy movie, Boomerang. Known for his signature voice, he helped PM Dawn become a number one charting group in the 1990s. Yes. Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. In 1991, hit the Billboard Music Charts at number one and solidified the group's place in music history. According to People Magazine, he survived by his wife Mary and their three children, Christian, Mia, and Brandon. So sad.
Okay, now which one was he? Was he the big guy with the dreads or the smaller one with the glasses?
The big guy with the dreads.
Oh. Bless his heart.
So sad. Because he was the only one singing on there.
The other one was singing, too. He was more, well, I think the other one kind of did a little bit of the rap lyrics, too. But they doing it, but it's just like the other one became the more noted one, I think, because he did most of the vocals. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a background singer in the duo.
Okay, and the beat maker, probably. Okay.
Okay. Well, in those songs that I think I literally can just listen to at any given time and just be like, just mellowed way out. Set Adrift on Memory Bliss and I Die Without You. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, They were stellar. They were stellar. Yes, they were. They were. Bye, y'all. Bye.
Take to the funeral, child, trying to jump in the casket. Stop it. Sit down.
I know pretty much. Right. You know, okay. Let him stay. I know. Well, I wanted to lighten it up a little bit, but now this story is going to bring out some anger in some folks, I'm sure, you know, but I just have to put it out there because it's about fucking time something happened. But let me go on. A Florida state attorney who made headlines 2 years ago for a social media post about crack holes has been suspended after posting a Facebook statement that denounced the Orlando, Florida as a national embarrassment within a few hours after the terror attack at Pulse nightclub. He's been suspended for violating the office's social media policy again. And this is his post about Orlando, Florida as a whole. And I quote, "Downtown Orlando has no bottom. The entire city should be leveled. It is void of a single redeeming quality. It is a melting pot of third world miscreants and ghetto thugs. It is void of culture. If you live down there, you do it at your own risk and at your own peril. If you go down there after dark, there is seriously something wrong with you. Disney, Walt Disney World does everything within its power to shield the visitors of Disney from its northern blight. That doesn't change the reality. Disney may be the happiest place on earth, but Orlando is a national embarrassment. If this is an act of a domestic terrorist, it is so important that we do not publish the religion, the name, or motive of the terrorist as to not to offend anyone." End quote. Really, dipshit? You should have suspended your ass the first time you ranted about crack holes. Eat shit and die.
I'm like, after you just actually ran everybody that lived there into the ground and you talking about some not embarrassing folks? Really?
Really. A national embarrassment.
Miscreant. Like, really? Orlando people are just full of miscreants. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, now let me... And ghetto thugs, yeah. So let me guess now that you're saying that, because does it happen to be that Orlando citizens might be predominantly, or what they call the majority, African-American? Is that the case?
I doubt it. I don't believe Orlando is predominantly black.
You're saying some pertinent words that only assholes would actually refer to in those, you know, types of names, but that's generally what they would be saying about predominantly African-American cities. Or should I say what they consider to be minority, which we all know that when they say minority, it refers to both Latino and black, but I think they lump us all together anyway. So my thought is, okay, basically what it is that it's not predominantly white, to say that. And say that, my thing is like, okay, well, what do you call these areas that are filled with trailers and things of that nature where you can basically meet many people that probably have about 10 teeth between them? Those areas being just, you know, riddled with hatred and disgust for the country, you know, and all that. You don't hear that kind of thing about those particular cities and how they're embarrassment to what they, you know, the state that they're in. Really? Really?
He could have been talking about, you know, either he's ignorant on facts. He couldn't know what he was talking about because Orlando, for the 2010 census, is black or African American 25%.
And what's the Hispanic?
28%.
That would put us at the majority.
No. White or Caucasian, including white Hispanic, is 57.6%. So that would put them at the majority. So he don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Then whatever you just read ain't actually correct, because percentage is only up to 100.
Okay. Orlando's population of black folks is 25%.
That's 25%. You said
Hispanic or Latino, 28%.
You said 28?
Yes.
That's 53% right there.
Okay.
So there's only
non-Hispanic, non-Hispanic or white, non-Hispanic, white or Caucasian is
41%. 41%, there we go.
And then
they put majority.
And then white or Caucasian, including white Hispanic, is 57%.
You sure that's not
5.7? No, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it on Wikipedia, but you know, we don't know how accurate that is. But it doesn't look like the majority of them are African American or thugs.
They're not thugs, but when I say African American, it's like I said, because they lump us together with Latinos, especially in those kind of areas. That's why I say we're the majority. But it still says to me that no, we're still thugs and all that other kind of stuff would not be the majority. Now I'm sure they may have their fair share of gangs like every other place does. But even still, just because they're gangs does not exclude them from being white people. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know where they get that mentality that when you think gangs, thugs, and all that other kind of stuff, that excludes white people. But in their minds, it does. So when they say it, to me, that's what I'm getting from them. Like, it does exclude them. But it doesn't. And so my thought is when you're making these statements, I feel like that's where you're coming from when you're saying it. So to me, it'll make you look even more.
I feel like that's where you're coming from.
I feel like where the angle that you're trying to come from.
You know what? I feel like you're trying to, Precious, I feel like you're trying to fuck with me, Precious. Precious.
Okay.
I feel like you're trying to
Okay, I'm feeling that. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling it in my spirit that that's what you mean and that's what you're meaning. And
okay,
if that's
I'm
what
so,
you're meaning, do your research, honey. Do your research. And if you
so
have a problem with if you have a problem with the city, you can do one of two things. You can either change whatever issues that you are seeing that's truly issues, or move. Go somewhere else. Go to one of those communities that I know they got plenty of in Florida. How about that?
Yeah, step down. You know, since Orlando is such a blight, you know, and a blemish for you, you know, you don't have to be the state's attorney for that, you know. And you keep on violating the rules and stuff, you're going to end up being fired. You ought to be glad that you suspended your ass because that wasn't enough.
I think it's such a national statement about Orlando being an embarrassment to the state. Yeah, that's enough reason for you to probably step down and say, you know what, it's time for you to retire or something.
Really?
Either way, you don't need that.
Right. You know, so you don't need to be no state's representative or no state attorney. You know.
Exactly.
No. Because that's just not even cool. That's just not even cool. Then the first time you didn't listen to them people when they told you that you couldn't be up there on social media putting out what you want and stuff. You know, you got a public job. People, you know, kind of like pay attention to that when you got a public job like that. And look at stuff like that, you know, and then you can infringe upon, not infringe, but you can pretty much compromise the state's laws, or right?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that something that, like, some kind of way you can mess yourself up really bad by doing that?
Well.
You know, by, you know, putting out stuff.
and just basically spouting off at the mouth?
Yeah, you know, like, or pretty much foaming at the mouth. Yeah.
Well, we have freedom of speech, but it's borderline when you are in a position such as a state representative or a mayor or even a congressman. You have the level of respect for the people that voted you in, and those are the people that voted you in.
Mm-hmm.
So with that
right.
respect,
the
you,
same.
Have to,
mm-hmm.
you have to give that respect to the people that voted you because you're just there because of a vote. You're not there because of your common sense. You're not there because of your book sense. You're not there because you use any knowledge, obviously, that you don't have if you're going to do something stupid like that. You're there because we voted you to be there. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
He might have been drunk.
Well, I just announced that would probably be
drunk.
The fact, too. Y'all know that Florida has always been probably one of the reddest states, you know, in the running history. And
no, you live in the reddest states in the history.
Huh?
You live in one of the reddest states in the history.
Well, that too, yes. Yes, but I'm just saying that it's one of those states also. But what I'm saying is that Florida has been a red state for a long time, but there are certain areas, just like even in this state, that are Democratic. And I think from the dynamics of Orlando, it might be one of those cities that are probably predominantly Democratic. And when you have a Republican that's basically speaking on behalf of people, especially of those particular parts of the city, I don't think, especially when, you know, the, you give them a platform to say stuff, that it's going to be one of the best things to really, really say, considering that the majority of the people that's in that particular area are not their supporters, probably. That's what I'm thinking. Because if it was one of those situations where, yes, like you said, they voted you into your position, I truly don't think you would have actually made that kind of a statement towards those people that actually put you there, you know? So I'm thinking that basically they're probably, it's probably one of those Democratic areas of that red state that he basically felt like, well, I could say this about this area because, you know, they're just a Democrat. They don't mean nothing to this state because essentially they're still going to be a red state, considering that the majority of the people that live there in the state, well, should I say, that has controlling of the control of the electoral votes, basically are still Republican people. So that's why you would make that kind of a, being an ignorant-ass Republican representative or a Senate, whichever position he's in, I don't know. But whatever his position is, that's how he got there. But that's why he felt like he can actually make that kind of a statement and it wouldn't be no big deal. Problem is, you did that on the heels of something that was very tragic happening in your state, and that made it an even bigger deal. You know?
True. He's an asshole. They need to fire him.
He's definitely an asshole. If he's going to lose his job, I would be surprised if they did fire him because, you know, that's just the way that the world works like that, especially in a Republican state, you know? But he definitely would deserve to lose his job because, again, just because these people are not Republicans or not your biggest supporter does not mean that you have open season, you know, to just disrespect them like that because they live in that same state that you're supposed to be representing. And you're in a position to where you're not just representing parts of. You're supposed to be representing the whole. And if you are the representative of the whole, you're doing a piss-poor job of it, which is why you would deserve to lose your job. And that's what I got to say about that.
Bastard. Little bastard. Okay. Okay. Well, I thought that what I had would be long enough. I could find something else real quick.
Well,
I really thought we were gonna.
Look, I have a story if you don't mind that this came up to my attention. That kind of caught me as interesting. There is a guy. His name is Richard Rosario. I think he's in New York, if I'm not mistaken. But he was wrongly accused of murder 20 years ago, and he has been in prison ever since he was accused. But the thing is, he was wrongly convicted, which they realized, of course, now. So, about a month ago, he was released, but they were going to actually do the completion of that in court recently. But while he was in court, against the advice of his attorneys, basically, he said that he did not want the judge to close his case because he wants to be completely exonerated from the charge, considering that when he was on trial, they had over a dozen witnesses that said he could not have possibly done this murder. They gave him over 12 different alibis, but they still convicted him. So he said in court, Your Honor, I have been, you know, in prison for the past 20 years, and I've been maintaining my innocence. I have been open about everything. I have been, you know, cooperative with everything possible. And then, you know, and have maintained my innocence. So what I would like to happen is that this case remain open until you all solve who actually did it. Because apparently the New York, the NYPD is who has said, is not big on finding the truth, basically. So he basically wants to make it mandatory that they actually seek the truth as to what actually happened and completely exonerate him from the charge itself and just basically say, now we know the truth as to what actually happened. Now, considering that, okay, well, you know, if it came down to it, that if that had to be the case and you being out of prison, now, I would say it would be even braver if he was still needing to have to actually continue being in prison until they did that. But he was already taken out of prison, and I'm still thinking that that's still a statement of a man to me to say, I don't even want you to close the case until you can completely solve it. Because it's clear now that, and it was clear then, if you ask me, but it's clear now that I didn't do this. Y'all need to find out who did so we can actually close this case and then exonerate me from it. So I'll think about that.
What, he was wrongly accused, right?
Yes.
He's still in jail.
No, he's actually out of prison now, but 20 years later, because they found out that he was actually innocent, as he's been proclaiming since day one, even though they had 12 alibi witnesses that said the same thing.
Wow.
But they still convicted him.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot on your record. 20 years?
That is 20 years, honey, for a murder that you did not commit. But you know what?
That's a
It's been the history of this country where that is, like you said, it's like it doesn't matter what the truth is at some point. They have somebody, they have enough to say, okay, well, it looks like he did it. Bam, he did it. Let's just go with that. Because as we know in history, government does not like to say, you know what, we were wrong about things. And that's government on any kind of level, be it the state level, be it the street level, the city level. You know, it's like, yes, the police officers, they're not going to just come right out and be like, you know what, y'all, I know we arrested him 5 days ago, but we was wrong. You know, we had a lot of evidence that we thought supported our theory, and we went with that, but we were wrong. They're not going to say that. Mm-mm. They will have a person in prison, locked up, going through the system, regardless to the fact, and especially if you are not one to truly, truly fight for your life and stand up for yourself, they will literally just have you in there and just basically be like, okay, so you did it. So that's it. I don't care if you did it or not. We said you did it because it just looks like it to us that you did it. So that's what we're going to go with. So... I understand where this is coming from with him, because I would be, you know what, I would want to know that my damn self.
Well, that's what a lot of people are questioning. Let me tell y'all, earlier this week, I was at work, and I was in my office, and they locked down one of the main streets that my office is on, and there was a cop shot a couple of buildings down at a donut shop. And
yeah,
locked the street and locked down the whole subdivision behind it. And maybe after about an hour or so, they captured the young man that they claim killed him. But the grandmother said she knew her grandson didn't kill him, but they said they found him in the backyard. And the little boy, they said, probably was 95 pounds. And they beat him up so bad. I mean, so many cuts, his eye socket. I mean, you have people on Facebook saying, well, that's what you get for killing a cop. But, again, you're innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And but everybody knew that they were going to find someone, because in the midst of the cop being shot, once he got to the hospital, he passed away. So, of course, they were going to find who killed him. So, they blocked off all the streets and all that. And but you're going into a neighborhood that is prominently African-American,
exactly.
And people are outside, people are around. I believe they hemmed up a lot of people to see, because the young man ran into the area. And a lot of people are saying they think they just picked the first black person that was around. Now, some people say that he matched the description, but how many black people match descriptions these days? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of black guys with
Chris.
There's a lot of black guys with afros. There's a lot of black guys with tall heads. There's a lot of black guys with flat tops. Pretty much it's not a description that you can say that half of the people, if you put him next to a lineup full of young black guys in the area, they pretty much all look alike. You look like what you're around. You look like your peers. So, again, I can't say if he's innocent, if he's guilty, but, again, everybody has already made him guilty. The chief of police got on, the sheriff, actually, of the parish, got on the news describing the incident of how it went down. And he was out of state when it all happened, and he flew in once his officer died. So for you to recap on everything you think that happened, because the only person that can actually speak on what happened is actually the cop that was there and a young man that actually did it. So for you to conclude, and I know that's your job to investigate and try to conclude, but for you to try to conclude what is going on and just convict this young man, you are absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, like you said, it's their job to investigate and conclude. The problem is they conclude, but they don't be investigating a lot. They just go with what they feel like they can go with, and then that's what it is. But at the same time, like I said, whose description does this man match? Who gave a description of this person to whoever and said that's the person that actually shot this police officer?
Well, what happened was the young man was walking down the street and the police officer called in that he was stopping a pedestrian. And when you stop someone, you have to call in their description and everything when they pull them over. And the young man was walking down the street and he was pulled over by the police officer.
Mm.
And, they have to give a description when they pull him over.
Did he happen to have a gun? I mean, don't they have cameras on their cars? Did anything get caught on video at all?
No.
They're at a donut shop. Was anybody else there?
Well, it was outside because he was actually walking down the street when the cop pulled him over.
Okay, but they were at a donut shop. Was anybody else there?
They probably had people inside the donut shop, but I don't know who what other evidence they got. That was all it. And the only thing that was released, and his grandma was very upset because she felt that they just came and just grabbed her grandson.
And essentially that's what they did. Because, see, this is what I'm imagining. Now, I know that, different donut shops look differently. But if you're in front of most donut shops, there's at least generally a glass window or a door or something. And especially, when... I know, like, when I see police cars outside of a building where I am and I see the flashing lights, if I'm at a hotel like I would normally be, I would basically be like, okay, well, what's going on out here? I see flashing lights and they're outside in the parking lot. Why are they out there? And if, the donut shop that I'm used to seeing in New Orleans, most of them have, like, a wall of glass, windows or whatever, some of them. But, some of them may not be a whole wall, but there's still enough glasses where if you see something going on, people, especially if you're in there, even if you're working there doing whatever, somebody's going to look to see, okay, what's really going on. And then if you hear a shot going off, oh, yeah, you definitely, got your attention raised now. So I'm just thinking about you outside of a donut shop. I don't know what time of day or night or whatever it might have been, but if you're outside of a donut shop, there should be lights. You should have had a camera on your car. And if a police officer is stopping somebody, they're normally supposed to be within that camera range so that what they're doing is documented. That's the whole purpose of having those cameras inside your police car. When you're stopping somebody on an interstate, that's why they pull up behind you, because their camera is facing the front. So it's like all of these things that's going on, it's like, okay, this person is being stopped, then he's being accused of killing somebody. They don't even say if the guy even had a gun on him. Where's the gun that shot this police officer? Where's the prints? Something. Description, you can say somebody called in something that described what you were wearing, a T-shirt and jeans. Okay, now how many people were wearing T-shirts and jeans? African-American young man, okay, in this area, how many African-American young men was wearing a T-shirt and jeans? So I'm like, what kind of description are you giving to say that this is the person, it had to be the person that did this? It's like, what is all this coming from? You know what? We ain't got that much time to really, 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 really get into this, y'all, because it's getting ready to come to an end, I must say. But if we can, we could probably pick this back up tomorrow, honey. But join us tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, 8 a.m. y'all time, 9 a.m. my time. Mm-hmm. join us on Love and Life, because